Good morning and welcome to this November edition of Talking with Dr. Tanovich. And we are reaching that holiday season. I think people are going out and about this year, especially way more than last year. Maybe you're going to be seeing a lot of people for the holidays for the first time in quite a while. And maybe if you're like me, you've had that little itch in the back of your mind going, should I? Shouldn't I? I don't know a whole lot about Botox. Maybe it's time for you. And Dr. Tanovich is here today, thank you very much, to talk a little bit about fillers and Botox and other injectables. And if you're like me, this is going to be Injectables 101 because I am totally clueless about this, Dr. Tanovich. So maybe you could start off by telling us who would be a good candidate for fillers or for Botox.
First, good morning to you and to our listeners. It depends what people are looking for and their age group, and pretty much everybody may be a good candidate for this. If you start thinking about this, you're a candidate, or at least close to be one.
So maybe you could tell us the difference between Botox and other dermal fillers.
This is actually an excellent question because a lot of people do think it's one or another. Those are two completely different things, and they do work different ways, and they use for different reasons. When we are talking about the Botox, this is botulinum toxin, which sounds crazy, but I'll tell you how it's not crazy, and it's FDA approved since 2010, and we can freely use it. This is actually something which blocks communication between a nerve ending and a muscle, which is in action. Based on this, we get a resting look. Not frozen look, I hope, just a resting look. Why this botulinum toxin? We shouldn't be really thinking it's a horrible thing for us because toxic dose is about 50,000 units. We use per patient 50 units. 50 to 70 units, it's biodegradable, leaves our body in 3 to 4 months. Safe as it can be if you're a good candidate for this. When we're talking about fillers, this is a totally different beast, I would say, because fillers should replace for volume we lost or shape we lost, and we're trying to make it up for whatever we lost because we try to recreate our youth, not youth itself, just our own youth. We have a different type of fillers out there, and I would suggest for people who never did any fillers, try to do something which doesn't last long, but something which if you don't like it, you don't have to do it anymore. What I want to bring today is for everybody to really be aware of the market and be aware of people who are offering these injectables to people. We do have something as hyaluronic acid. This is one I mentioned that goes probably quicker out of your body without any residuals than anything else. They come in different forms. And longevity of those depends on cross-linking of hyaluronic acid. Then we have something which may be a little bit more lasting, like calcium hydroxylapatite, which is known as Radius. I don't mean to advertise any of this. I'm just mentioning. We have a polylactic acid, which comes as a Sculptra. And we have autologous fat injections, which will be recommended for people who are really liking their fillers, but they don't want to come so very often to repeat that. But we're talking about your own fat, which can be done, but we're talking about procedure now, not something you come in office, you leave right away with instant gratification. Why am I mentioning it's very, very important to know all this? Because when you're looking on the market, you have to know what you're asking for and you have to be doing good research about your injectors. This is very popular. I understand nothing comes for free and people try to save a couple dollars. But the most important thing is to find an injector who knows what he's doing or she's doing, and the best people to inject you are people who know anatomy of a face very well, who are really familiar with vascularization of a face, because something which may start as just quick satisfaction and desire may end up being a big problem on the long term.
So when you mention all these different fillers, do they all go in different areas of the face or are they mostly used for the same thing?
I mentioned chemically different fillers because they usually are designed, some of them for different areas, but some of them you can use them equally in all areas, but they last longer and they leave residuals. I would suggest for people, especially for people who are thinking of it, never did it, to start with something which is the most benign and that it's easier to get rid of. If you don't like, let's say you chose a person who doesn't know where to put it, and you as a person who want to have improvement doesn't mean necessarily somebody should follow your instructions. When you come to office of a person who's going to do this, you tell them what bothers you. And this person has to know how to kill that problem. You know, you may show me nasolabial fold, but it doesn't mean you necessarily need to be filled there. Probably you need a little bit of cheek filler, which is going to balance off that nasolabial fold. Those things like type of a filler, injector, experience, everything has to be really aligned for good result. That's why my biggest advice will be for everybody who's listening today, be smart of choosing who's going to do this and ask million questions. Ask everything what can go wrong or what if I'm not happy, because you just may not be happy with this.
What is the result that you should expect as opposed to the one that you might have built up in your head?
I personally tell my patients, if you leave my office and everybody knows that you had fillers, I didn't do a good job. It should be seamless. It should be natural result, which is going to give you refreshed look. That's ultimate goal. At least that's what I find aesthetically pleasing. Botox doesn't start working day number one. You need 5 to 12 days to really develop full action of it. I advise my patient, come back in 2 weeks, because muscles, I do inject the same amount, let's say, of a Botox, same number of units in, let's say, both sides of your eyes. But muscle may be stronger on one side than another, and you may look a little lopsided. It's good to check patient 2 weeks later to make sure that you balance it out, because this patient shouldn't be walking with some disbalanced look for 3 months. Patient came to us to be happy afterwards, not to be unhappy for another 3 months. And I think natural look should be really something everybody should be aiming for. And as I said, we should chase the youth, but our own youth, not somebody else's youth.
That's so important. You should be leaving still looking like yourself.
And even if you are not expressing this to your injector, I know what you want. You want what I want for myself. You want to have something you used to be looking 10 years ago or 5 years ago or whatever that look might be. An injector should be able to deliver this to you. And when I say injector, because a lot of people are not physicians, not plastic surgeons, you know, and I'm not saying they don't know what they're doing, but I would also advise people to look, do they have anybody who's supervising their job? Like it may be a registered nurse, it may be physician assistant who took a course and they know how to do it. And I'm not saying they don't know what they're doing, but you should be able to have somebody on a board if something goes wrong who can really help you and get you out of that.
Going back to what you were saying earlier, you have to really make sure you know who is handling your injections.
Exactly.
I mean, are these fillers really available to anybody who wants to purchase it to inject it?
Unfortunately, it is a case, because you cannot buy product which is FDA approved in United States of America. You cannot buy it online. But people reach to other resources, and I see a lot of people coming to me because they ended up buying it online. Somebody else injected. They did save a couple dollars, but unfortunately, Botox lasts 3 to 4 months. But unfortunately, 7 months later, they do have some weird reaction to something, and I don't know what was injected. Anything can be written on a bottle. You always have to really think about pros and cons of everything. And we are putting something in our body. This is not something, oh, I put it in, let me take it out. It doesn't work like that. We have to be very mindful of everything we do, let get in our body, because ultimately, we came to be happy, not to have a problem. Extremely important to do very good search and ask questions. Ask that person, I'm sorry, where did you get this Botox from? That's not an embarrassing question. And people feel sometimes, you know, I don't want to insult the person. Please insult me. Ask me, because you have rights to know what's going on in you.
And if somebody who is injecting doesn't have an answer, you know there's some red flags that are going to be raised.
Definitely, because it's no shame to ask, where did you get your materials from? I get advertisements. Actually, I get offers which are arriving to my office daily, 10 times, to get the Botox from Mexico, from Canada. It's illegal. I'm sure Canadian Botox is same as mine. But if I reach for Canadian Botox, yeah, I can save a couple $100. But do I really know that it's the same? Because every bottle comes with a number. If something goes wrong with my patient, I can go back to that number of a bottle and call a company and say, listen, this Botox didn't work or whatever. We have checks and balances because we have everything to lose if something goes wrong. But a lot of people don't even have anything to lose. They don't have a license. They don't have malpractice insurance. They don't have any accountability. And patients have to understand, if you go to a person who is not covered for what we're doing, nothing can happen afterwards because you're not covered, period. Some mistakes can be very, very expensive.
I love that we're here with you, that we can ask you questions, but you can also tell us the questions to ask. I would never think to ask any doctor where any type of medication or material came from. It's not even a thought that would cross my mind.
Now, I have to tell you why I'm saying this, because I witnessed so many people who were coming to my office for help after they have been injected with something else. I'm board certified, licensed with fully covered malpractice, and malpractice covers all my patients. But patients have to be aware, if injector does not require to pay malpractice insurance for this, then what is accountability for this? They can buy it from anywhere. And sometimes people tell me, oh, my Botox lasted only 10 days. I was like, seriously? It's impossible. We get it in a powder. You have to dilute that. And we know per 0.cc how many units we have. Obviously, if you want to dilute it to do 5 patients on a bottle, you can give it for bargain because it is a bargain for you too. But if you're really doing right thing, then this is some price attached to it. Wow. But you want to have your results. You didn't come to me to be unhappy.
So going back to the fun of it.
Great.
Because let's be real. When you make the decision to get Botox and to get fillers, this should be kind of an exciting decision for you.
Agree.
This should be a lot of fun. So if I'm interested in getting Botox or dermal fillers, how do I know which one I should go for?
That's an excellent question, because this tells me that you never had any.
No, I
Awesome.
Like I said, this is Botox 101.
Yeah. Okay, great. Because as I said, they work differently, but they actually, very often, we use both of those to give synchrony to the face. Usually, when patient comes to my office, I explain to them how it works. Those are complementary to each other, because if you really want to have a resting face, you need to put muscle on ease. But if you want to replace some volume or shape, you really need a filler. They work differently. They were put in different places, and they should give a synchrony to your face. That's what it is. Usually I give a little stick to patients, like a Q-tip, and give them a mirror. And I said, I want you to point to everything which bothers you on your face and you would love to change it. And let me tell you how we're going to change it. You don't have to go with anything I do, but I'll give you a recommendation. And then you pick and choose which one, because it's ultimately up to you. But I have to be there to advise you what may work best for you.
So you would use both in one appointment to get that one result that you're looking for?
We can mix and match, because, as I said, you use Botox to relax muscles on your face, on your neck, on your chin, wherever it might need it to be. But you use the fillers to enhance the shape and enhance the volume of places people do lose it. How do we lose the volume? Elasticity on collagen changes when we're aging. We are not per se, you know, very often you're going to hear, oh, people when they're aging, their ears are getting longer and nose is getting longer. Nothing is really getting longer because it grows. It's just elasticity of a collagen changes and it's getting less elastic. And then what happens? Whatever you use the quality, it gets longer. Think about shirt, which you use for many, many years, and kind of losing shape on it because you wash it many times, mm-hmm. because these filaments lost the strength. This is good comparison for lay people to compare collagen in a skin. We lose the strength, we get the wrinkly, right? Like skin on our arms get a little kind of, it looks dry. Yeah, it is, but because your collagen is not elastic anymore. This is what it is. And this is actually beyond fillers. We can talk about this in some other time, how to improve elasticity of a skin. Those are a lot of things. I believe in process where you regain your natural looks. I don't think you should look done. If you look done, not good look.
Right. You want to look natural. You want to
And you have to look balanced. especially lips. People think, oh, my upper lip is thinner. Yes, and it should be thinner. If we go back to history, actually Leonardo da Vinci was first person who used proportions to face to match it with aesthetically pleasing. And we know that aesthetically pleasing lips are in proportion upper lip 1 to lower lip 1.6. Then our upper lip should never be size of a lower lip because it's going to draw everybody's eye to it. They're going to say, oh, it's weird. They may not say what the weirdness coming from, but they're going to figure out some disbalance there. What am I aiming to is that balance of a face gives us aesthetically pleasing look.
Da Vinci knew.
And we still stick to his proportions because they were amazing and truthful.
That is so interesting. So it's like, is the Mona Lisa like a 1 to 1.6 ratio?
I believe, I never thought of it, but I believe to it, right?
Da Vinci.
But actually, not just this, like he actually come up with other dimensions, like everybody's body, you know, should be, if you're looking in proportions, that the size of your head should be like 6 heads in your body. That the length of your face should be length of your feet, like proportionately. I'm just saying,
he came
with a lot of, because he was actually a doctor too.
Sure.
People don't know that, some people don't know that, but he was analyzing body through the art and anatomy, a lot of anatomical discoveries came from that time and from him. And we shouldn't really fix what's not broken. And
right.
His rules are still amazing.
Would you consider this almost like a conditioner? You were talking about a shirt that gets a lot of use. You need a little fabric softener.
Right.
Just kind of fluffs
exactly.
it up a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly. This is a different world we live in right now. People are glued to reality shows for some reason. And I don't know why is that, but this is a cultural thing. And some people are associating themselves with those people they're seeing on TV. And all times, plastic surgical procedures and everything was just for privileged people who were public people, and they thought it just, they have rights to do it. I completely don't agree with this. I think we all have rights to look any way we want, if you can afford it and if you have desire, and it's always a way to do it. But going back what I said, some people have desire, but they don't find right way. That's why we have all these disasters coming from instant gratification and quick fix. I'm a person who wants to have instant gratification and quick fix, but I'm going to do my homework. Having said that, I'm just advising everybody who's listening today, please do your homework. Make sure that somebody whom you're choosing to go to does know what he's doing or she's doing, and he's going to be in line with your desire.
I feel like for me, maybe one of my hesitations, I can speak personally, is this something that once I do it once, I have to keep doing it? You can't stop. I feel like there's a misconception about that.
You said that right. Actually, you can do it once and never again.
Really?
It doesn't matter because nothing of this we're talking about is permanent. Let's say you put hyaluronic acid. It's going to be depends of cross-linking. We have some of them, let's say Restylane has a cross-linking which goes away quicker. Juvederm lasts longer. Voluma, which goes in deep cheek, lasts even longer. But if you don't like how you look, we have enzyme to dissolve it and it's gone.
Oh, no kidding.
Exactly. But something which is more permanent, we cannot get rid of. And I'm suggesting to everybody who never did it, start with light stuff. See, do you like it? Okay? You say, listen, yeah, it was okay. I really wasn't expecting this look and I'm not happy. Two things may be reason. That you really, your expectations were wrong. You had the wrong injector. Or you really were not even candidate for this. I try to educate my people. When they come to my office and say, I really want to have a filler here, I tell them, yeah, we can do that, but it's going to give you monkey look.
Huh.
You don't want to have that look. And then I show them putting filler in different places. It's going to give pull here. Like if I lift my cheeks, it takes away from nasolabial folds and marionette lines.
You're pointing.
Exactly.
You're pointing to the exact spot where
exactly.
I
and people
at,
come. But
right
see,
on her mouth.
See, you are not a physician. Why would you know how to correct that? Person who's injecting you should know, if I inject you here, it's going to give you this look. If I inject you here and here, it's going to give you a totally different look. That's why I'm advising everybody to do homework first. And if you choose right, you're going to be happy. If you choose wrong fillers, which are not on the market, that somebody comes to you and say, hey, I got it from South America. I got it from Europe. This is not approved here, mm-hmm. but it works amazing. We all do it. And you go to it. This is set up for disaster. Because if something is not approved here, trust me, we have a reason for that. Never do that. And a lot of celebrities destroy their faces just feeling privileged because, oh, I can get it, somebody else cannot. Do not ever go in that trap. Just stick what's approved and known.
Just to skew a little bit, since you mentioned celebrities, I feel like there are certain celebrities that people, I think, pop into mind. It's like, oh, what did they do to her face? What did she do? What is that? Is that a bad doctor? Is that just bad work? I'll be honest. Somebody who pops to mind is Courtney Cox, who was just so beautiful. But you could tell, you can see that she's had stuff done to her face. Like, why does that happen? And why don't they stop? How does that happen to somebody with privilege?
You know, honestly speaking, I love that girl, Courtney Cox, and I hated what they did to her face.
Like, what did they do to her face?
But whoever did it, I don't know, what did they really do? Did they put, they really kind of made her face look very wide.
Yes.
And it shouldn't go in this direction. Whoever is injecting her or did some small facelift, they didn't do a good job. But I have to tell you one thing. People have a lot of misconceptions about surgeons, where is the best area to get surgery done and stuff like this. A lot of people go to California and Hollywood because it's very cheap to practice plastic surgery there.
Okay.
Their malpractice is capped. They're capped and nobody pays there more than $25,000 per year. People who practice in Nassau County, and I'm one of those people, my malpractice is probably highest in the United States of America because we have a lot of litigations in Nassau County, and then my malpractice has to follow whatever requirement of the area I'm practicing. A lot of people who are practicing in Hollywood, they really don't know what they're doing. Because they just graduated somewhere, they have that in their mind, they want to be celebrity plastic surgeons.
Right.
Public think, oh, they're there, they must be great. That's not true. You can find in plastic surgical field a lot of people who don't know what they're doing, a lot of people who are mediocre, people who are amazing, like in every other profession. I wish to say we are spared of it, but we are not. But even worse for plastic surgical field is that a lot of people who are not trained in a field, they get courses. They get into it. And I'm not saying they're all bad necessarily, but they're not covered for what they do. Malpractice doesn't cover that because you're not trained properly for this. Going back to Courtney Cox, I think she didn't need what she got. She needed much less, subtle and in right places. Whoever did her fillers thought they have to really fill her face to the point that she's going to widen her face. It doesn't look great. I feel sorry for girl because she's beautiful.
She really is.
She's a beautiful girl.
She is.
And I don't know. I can't guess. I only hope they didn't put fat in her place because this is really permanent filler.
Oh, you know? That's a whole other trick.
Exactly. And then I advise people who are going back and forth, who are going for years for these absorbable fillers, save some money. Do fat because you love how you look. You're just going to harvest a little bit of your fat and do it in exactly the same places you need it. And you're good for 10 years.
Oh, we're going to need another 30 minutes for this one, Dr. Tan.
I'm sure we will. If I can help one person, do not make mistake, I'm happy for that. Because I see day in a day a lot of mistakes from different spots, fillers, and some of them we can help.
So I know we can't tuck everything into one category. You explained that there's all different types of fillers and everything. But in general, how long will the results last? Maybe after the first time I get some sort of Botox or fillers done.
Botox usually lasts about 3 to 4 months. It depends. But I think if you have some regularity in it, it lasts longer because muscles get trained, do not break that much. People have impression, like if I'm using it every 3 months, am I going to get resistant to it? No, it's no such thing. I suggest patients who are just starting out, just keep first 3 to 4 times back to back before it wears off 100%. And then you need less in the future because muscles are trained already. And then you need less. Instead of doing it every 3 months, you can do it in 5 months or 6 months. As far as the fillers go, it depends which filler do you choose. As I said, for hyaluronic acid, I would suggest whoever starts should look for hyaluronic acid in any shape and form. If you have them like that, they last 3 to 4 months and you have some which lasts 2 years. But you have to ask your injector, and they should be able to answer that question. if you're putting fillers in static places, like which they don't have much movements, they last much longer. If you put them in the lips, they're going to go away with the movements quicker.
Do you need any downtime after you have it done?
Downtime may be if you have a bruise and nobody is spared from bruising. That's why it's very important to announce to your injector that you have event to go. You should mention any vitamins you're taking and stuff like this. Usually if I'm seeing person first time, I'll go through all this, what they're taking and not taking, and tell them what to stop to do to reduce bruising. Certain contraindications do exist, like if you have infection in the face, if you have a pimple and you have to really inject in that area, you really shouldn't do it. If you have a cold sore on the lip, you shouldn't do your lips at the time of a cold. So you have to let resolution to happen. An injector should know this.
Can we talk about the pain factor? Some people, maybe like myself, might be a little afraid. Is there a pain factor? How much is it going to hurt? You know, if you're not a fan of needles, I know that's a big deterrent for some people too who haven't done it yet.
The thing is, actually, we do use local numbing creams, put them in the area we're going to inject. Although some of these fillers do contain some lidocaine in it, which is numbing, obviously, and it helps. I wouldn't really call this painful procedure, but with some creams and stuff, it can be very comfortable for patients.
I have to ask also, what are the most common side effects that you've seen?
What I see from fillers and Botox, bruising. This is the most side effect because you cannot see every vessel and you may hit the vessel and it bruise, or small vessel, capillary or something like this. Although complications from this may be much worse and much harder. That's why it's very, very important to tell your physician if you have any underlying conditions. All medications you are taking, all teas you are drinking, it's very, very important to make your injector aware of it. Complications can be severe, but also people have to get restrictions afterwards. I tell my patients, do not exercise 24 hours after Botox. Do not get your face over hot steam. Do not get hot shower on your face. Reason for this is I just put that botulinum toxin in a place where I want to block your muscles. Obviously, our body is not made out of a clay. If you get this exposed to heat, what are we doing? We're opening our blood vessels. It may travel somewhere that I don't want to have it. But we need only 24 hours for Botox to set in, and you can do everything after 24 hours. We can have much more severe complications. Luckily enough, never happened to me. If you go to an injector who doesn't know anatomy of a face, he can put this to the vessel, especially with fillers. If filler goes to vessel, it may occlude the vessel. You may have necrosis on the skin over it. I saw pictures of it. You may get blind from it and stuff like this. I'm going back to when we started this talk. Please do your homework. Find out who's your injector. What the training do they have? Find somebody who's very, very, very familiar with the facial anatomy. You know, people who do facelifts, they know how to inject. We know anatomy in and out. It's your face, it's your body, and you have to live with that.
This has been Talking with Dr. Tanevich on the new 104.7 WHLI, The Hits of a Lifetime. I'm Jamie Morris. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you, Dr. Tanevich.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.